WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Evelyn Lau, was an honor student and an aspiring writer when she ran away from home at the age of 14. She says that one of the things that drove her away was her mother's unrelenting pressure to be the top student in school. Lau's parents are Chinese immigrants who settled in Vancouver, where Lau grew up. When she ran away, she lived in a series of group homes and on the street. She used drugs and worked as a prostitute. Still an aspiring writer, she kept a journal, which became the basis of her memoir, Runaway. In 1989, when she was 17, the book became a bestseller in Canada, where it was later adapted into a made-for-TV movie. In 1992, after the publication of her second poetry collection, Oedipal Dreams, Lau became the youngest poet ever nominated for Canada's Governor General's Award. Now her collection of short stories, Fresh Girls, has been published in the U.S., all of the stories are about sex and unhappiness. Here's an excerpt of the story Fresh Girls, about a girl who works in a massage parlor.
To him and others, I'm still in my Lolita years, but I have a birthday coming up soon. I'll be 20, and what then? The back room is getting too small, and even the owner is tiring of the pretty girls with their daddy complexes curled up next to the desk where he balances the books and takes half their money. The girls who pull up their skirts and tuck their naked legs beneath them on the chair and fiddle with their long curly hair, pouting. So, Daddy, should I get it cut? I was thinking maybe I'd get it cut next time, all these split ends. Look, while they dangle a waterfall of gorgeous hair in front of him. Everyone wants to be pretty for Mario. He takes their money and lets them sit in the back room when they get old, 24, 25. Lets them eat chicken soup and buy condoms for the other girls and take in a few hairy, smelly regulars wearing checked pants and bad ties. Mario's wife comes in then with her freckled legs, wearing a red dress, tilting her head to one side and saying, "No, don't cut it. That'll be bad for business." And the girls lid their eyes and put on older mouths, the kind of mouths that say contempt and knowing. But they say, "Well, okay." And Mario continues to work hard over the ledgers.
In a way, I think of the stories in Fresh Girls as being anti-erotica, because these are all stories about sex, sex for hire, sex games. But it's always sex without pleasure for the woman in the story.
Exactly. And I think that's extremely important, you know. When this book first came out, a lot of women wanted to leap upon it and see it as, oh, you know, a powerful book of erotica or of sexuality by a young female writer. And I felt, you know, I was quite horrified by that because I didn't feel that what I was writing about was in the least bit erotic. I mean, I personally associate something that's erotic with something that expresses desire and yearning and longing. And in my stories, the only sort of yearning that there is the yearning to be, to escape from these scenarios that these women find themselves in. And I don't think prostitution is ever an erotic sort of relationship at all.
The other yearning is a yearning for love, which is never going to happen in these relationships.
Exactly. And, you know, I think it is sort of a mistake, a very sort of glib mistake that people make when they pick up a book that is ostensibly about sex, and they immediately think it is something that is meant to
sort
of... Yes, yeah. And these stories really have, I think, you know, have a much more dampening response. It's really about sort of the coldness that can exist in that sort of transaction and the lack of desire, even sort of even on the man's part. It is not so much desire, but it is a drive for power or out of some, you know, incredible loneliness and isolation.
Now, you ran away when you were 14.
Mm-hmm.
And you were a hooker for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us first why you ran away.
It was a lot of things. I was very unhappy at home. One of the most important things that drove me to leave was that I knew at an extremely young age, I knew when I was 6 years old that I was going to be a writer. And it wasn't you know, sort of one day saying, oh, I'm going to be a writer, and the next day saying, well, you know, I might be an astronaut. I was very serious about this, and I became obsessed with writing and with books. And my parents were completely opposed to the idea that I was going to be a writer. And when they realized how serious I was, I was forbidden to write while I lived at home at all. And there were a lot of other tensions, and my father was unemployed, and so we struggled economically for several years, and that, you know, just added a lot more tension to the family, and I left. And being Asian, I knew that when I left, there was no way that I could go back. I wasn't just going to run away for a weekend and blow off some steam and go back home.
What does being Asian have to do with it?
I think it was just inconceivable that I would run away. It was not, you know, it wasn't something that would be tolerated or even understood. The shame attached to leaving, to doing something, you know, so sort of public, I mean, because other people knew, cast an immense amount of shame upon the family. And I just knew if I were to do that, if I were to, you know, actually hurt my parents as much as I would by leaving, that would be it. And I wasn't, you know, I was the last sort of kid who anybody at school thought would run away. You know, I was an honor roll student and very, very quiet and pathologically shy. And, you know, with thick glasses and sat around writing in my notebooks all the time.
My guest is writer Evelyn Lau. Her new collection of short stories is called Fresh Girls. And she's also the author of an earlier memoir called Runaway, Diary of a Street Kid. Evelyn, let's take a short break and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Back with Evelyn Lau, author of a collection of short stories called Fresh Girls and a memoir called Runaway, Diary of a Street Kid. So you ran away when you were 14.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you go to?
Well, for the next 2 years, I sort of bounced around. I was everywhere. I stayed with people I just met initially. Then I was sort of on the streets for a while, and I was in and out of social services, group homes and foster homes. And then, you know, I was living with people I met on the streets, and for a while I was just living on the street. And I guess when I was about, well, I guess when I turned 15, I got into prostitution. It was just one of the, it was one of the few options that were really open to me at the time. And shortly after I left home, I had a number of very bad sexual experiences very suddenly, and I had never had any before. And I was, you know, really confused. And the more things that happened to me, and it all happened in such a very short time, the less I felt that I could go back home or even tell anybody about this. I mean, again, the amount of shame was inconceivable.
You wrote about what it was like to run away and what those years were like in your memoir, Runaway. And in that book, you describe some of your early sexual encounters and how really naive you were. I mean, when you ran away, one of the things you wanted was comfort from people and comfort from men, from boys. And to get that comfort from somebody was interpreted as also wanting sex from them. So you ended up getting into sexual relationships when you were very young and not enjoying the sexual aspect
of it
at all.
Oh, these were much older men. I mean, for the most part, they were men in their 40s. And no, it was horrible. And very quickly, you know, I would hitchhike a lot to get around because I didn't have any money. And, men would proposition me. And it would be like for the smallest things. So sometimes I remember, I guess, you know, in a way, the first trick that I turned was somebody who paid me $10 to kiss him. And it was a man in his 50s. And I remember, you know, I still remember how awful that was, you know, sort of his big slobbering mouth and his tongue and everything. And the revulsion that I felt, and the confusion as well, that, you know, that adults were not supposed to behave this way. I'm still pretty innocent, I guess.
Well, how did you keep getting deeper into it if you found the experience revolting and humiliating?
I felt that that was all I ought to have. You know, it was a way of punishing myself for leaving, for running away, for hurting my family. It was, you know, and through drugs as well. It was just sort of this, every act sort of was almost meant to erase the last one, but of course only added to it. And And then after a while, I mean, there was that odd kind of misguided feeling of power that, you know, when I was like 15 and standing on a corner, I thought that, you know, like people wanted me for the first time and people praised me, you know, for something. I felt as if I could actually do something for the first time in my life and do it right, the way that I hadn't felt I could at home. I mean, looking back, it just, you know, it's, in a way, it's hard for me to understand now that I could have not known everything that I've learned since then.
Now, during the years that you had run away from home, you were living in group homes for girls, as well as sometimes living on the street. You were working as a hooker sometimes. You were also still writing, and that writing was what your book Runaway was based
right.
on.
Right, and I was also writing poetry as well at the same time. And particularly, though, what I was really doing was I was writing a diary. And, you know, in notebooks, in paper towels, and anything I could sort of, you know, stuff into my backpack, I just wrote compulsively. And it actually, at the end of 2 years, I had about 900 pages of diary entries. And it was the one thing that kept me, you know, again, feeling like I had, like I was worth more than just, you know, than just being a kid on the street.
I think you even won a couple of writing awards while mm-hmm. you were living on the street.
Oh, I know. See, I was like absolutely obsessed with becoming a writer. Even then, even through like the haze of drugs and through sort of these demeaning things that I was doing. I entered sort of poetry contests and writing, as I had always done, you know, before I had left home. And in fact, you know, this was one of the sources of conflict for me while living at home, was that, you know, I was winning these awards as, you know, as a young writer. What was hard for me when Runaway came out was that, you know, it had a lot of attention, but it was not the sort of attention given to the first book of a young writer. It was the attention given to somebody who had a sensational story to tell. And I was kind of heartbroken about that, because I knew this was only going to be the first of many books, and that, you know, and in fact, shortly thereafter, I published a book of poetry, and then, you know, later on, two more books of poetry before the book of stories. And, you know, and for me, it was the beginning of something, whereas a lot of people just saw it as sort of this one-shot, you know, kind of book that was a curiosity, but you know, not written by somebody who was going to keep writing.
Well, I was thinking you must have been one of the most overachieving street kids of the time.
I'm still like this incredibly over. It's funny because I guess you internalize your parents, you know, and I'm still, you know, I drive myself incredibly hard with my work, and probably, you know, I would probably be a neurosurgeon or something by now if, you know, if I had gone their route. But I think, yes, I mean, I've always, even when I felt so self-destructive and I was trying to kill myself, and so it was always my writing that was of the most. It was like I thought, you know, if I could only just kind of kill myself and then keep the part of me that wrote alive, then that would be ideal. And in many ways, my whole life has been struggling with that.
How did you get out of prostitution?
Well, you know, when I started feeling better about myself, it sounds really hokey, but, you know, when my work started getting some of that acclaim, you know, after my second book of poetry, and then with Fresh Girls, and I was, you know, clearly, for the first time, finally being treated seriously as a writer and as a poet. And I think that, you know, that changed a lot for me. It probably, you know, maybe it doesn't quite make sense, but to me, I mean, you have to understand that it was what I had wanted my whole life, was to be, you know, taken seriously as a writer. And when that finally started happening, and, you know, I started being able to make a bit of a living from my writing, you know, the prostitution no longer became necessary. And I also, you know, as I, again, you know, developed friendships and relationships that were outside of that, and when I realized that the world was so much bigger than this one very narrow, claustrophobic part of the world that I had seen or that I'd lived in for, you know, for so long.
Sexuality must seem still like such a mysterious subject, a mysterious world.
It is, kind of. And I think, you know, the writing that I most enjoy is by, in fact, like some writers I noticed that you've interviewed, like John Updike, who is able to write about sexuality from a completely different point of view and from a completely different background. And I actually, you know, I very much enjoy work like that, because to me it opens up an entirely different world. Whereas a lot of sort of, I guess, middle class people look at my work as being, you know, sort of very exotic, and I sort of from the outside looking in see their lives as being equally exotic and tantalizing. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it makes me sort of sad that I can only see it, you know, for now, in a certain way.
Do you yearn for a nuclear family, you know, husband, kids?
Oh, no, I don't yearn for children at all. My work is more than enough to keep me occupied. I do, however, I think, want to be married at some point. And in a funny kind of way, you know, I'm very self-sufficient and I like being by myself a lot. I have an enormous capacity for solitude. But I think, you know, I would like to know that I could have that sort of relationship with somebody despite my background, you know, because for now it feels like something that is, that I am kind of barred from in a way.
Evelyn Lau, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Evelyn Lau's collection of short stories, Fresh Girls, has just been published in the U.S. Her memoir, Runaway, will be published here in the fall. This is Fresh Air.